This morning I'm going to be preaching on Psalm 100. That's a beautiful psalm. It's so apropos for Thanksgiving, as we're going to celebrate that on Thursday. In fact, the heading of the psalm is this: A Psalm for Thanksgiving. Listen to the word of the Lord in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. That's a beautiful truth. So far, the reading of the Word of God. Before we open this, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, lead us in thanksgiving. Help us to be a thankful people. Help us, Lord, as a nation, to be thankful. Lead us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. During the course of this week, you will probably see in the paper the proclamation of Thanksgiving by the President. That's done every year, and it's done because the Congress has so ordered it. And this has been a tradition in our country, and it's a very good tradition. It's one of the only times in the year in which the whole nation is called to worship. And that's a marvelous thing. It doesn't happen in other countries where there is a very hostile relationship to God and His Word. But it does happen in our country, and we're very thankful for it. Thanksgiving is a wonderful time of the year, and it's truly wonderful that the country, that the President and the Congress call us to prayer and to thanks. Now, this psalm is God's proclamation of thanksgiving. God is proclaiming to us to give thanks. Not only us as a congregation or as Christian people, but do you notice what it says? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Everyone is called to give thanks. It's a universal call. That's the first thing we want to see. It's a universal call to give thanks. Then notice, secondly, it's the joyful character of this thanks. Come before Him with thanksgiving and joy. And then notice the festive climax of giving thanks in joyful assembly, in humble gratitude. And then the powerful cause for all this is that the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. That's the bottom line reason for all this. So notice, first of all, it's a universal call. It's a call to all the nations to give thanks to God. Why? Because all the nations of the earth, everyone, has received wonderful blessings of God. The rain, the sunshine, it comes on evil and the good. Seed time and harvest, all these blessings are truly from the Lord, and everybody enjoys them. Everyone does. It's a universal call which is committed to everyone. But the church has to lead the way. The church leads the way because it knows who the giver is. It knows why He did it. He did it out of love. He did it because He cares for His people. He did it because He is a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness. And God is love. All these blessings come from above. It is a universal call to give thanks. The setting of this Psalm 100, and it's part of a series of psalms beginning with 95, and if you would read 95, you'll see a lot of the same things in 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100. They're all part of the great call to give thanks to God. And the thought is that the setting of these psalms was the return of the ark to Jerusalem. Remember that the ark was, it was really brought by Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, into the battle against the Philistines, and then it was taken by the Philistines, and it was just a real burden to them. Wherever the ark was, there was trouble. There was trouble for the Philistines. So they finally said, that ark must be the reason for our trouble. So they sent it back to Jerusalem. They put two milk cows on a cart that had just freshened, and so their calves were just born, and these Philistine leaders said, if these milk cows go directly to Israel and don't turn back to their calves, then we'll know that it's of the Lord, of their God. And the cows were harnessed to the cart. The ark was put on the cart, and you read in 1 Samuel that the cows went lowing back to Israel. They didn't look back to their calves at all. And then the leaders of the Philistines says, now we know that we did the right thing. And so the ark came back to Israel. And it was in this home first and then in that home. And it was for a number of years. And finally David brought the ark back to Jerusalem. But it wasn't the first attempt. The first attempt was with all kinds of festivity and so on. And Uzzah touched the ark because he thought it was going to fall off the cart. And Uzzah was struck dead. And so there was just a great fear that came across to them. And then David later brought the ark to the tabernacle. And he had it carried by the Levites and they sacrificed. And then when the ark was back in the tabernacle, these psalms were written. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made, and so on. And so that's the setting. The reason why all the nations have to praise the Lord and give thanks to God is that only God is the one who gave it all and the one who can restore the nations. Now, last night I was listening to, watching the television, and there were two pastors from St. Louis who were talking about the racial conflict in Ferguson, Missouri. You all know about that. And these two pastors, I truly believe they were believing men. They certainly gave evidence of it in what they said. They said, the only real answer to racial harmony has got to come from God through the church. The church has to lead the way to reconciliation. And I think that statement is right along with what Psalm 100 is talking about. That it is only the gospel, only the word of God, only the cross of Christ that can bring harmony between the races. It's the only thing that can bring harmony and reconciliation between an offended God and offending sinners. It is only the cross of Christ that can bring reconciliation between people and nations and races. You read in the New Testament, in Galatians and in Ephesians and in Colossians, you read basically the same principle. In Christ there is no Jew or Greek. There is no freeman or slave. They're all one in Christ. That's the secret of reconciliation. Christ is the secret of reconciliation between families, between husband and wife, between parents and children, in neighborhoods. It is only in Jesus Christ that there is a oneness and a harmony. And so this is exactly why this beautiful call to thanksgiving is a universal call. Everyone needs it. Everyone needs this call to thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. And this thanksgiving is to be joyful in its character. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. In Psalm 116, this is a beautiful psalm which begins with a beautiful testimony. I love the Lord, for He hath heard my voice and my supplication. And in the middle of that psalm, it tells us what the Lord has done for us. He has delivered our soul from death, our eyes from tears, our feet from falling. Therefore I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And then the psalmist in 116 says, what shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? Now that's a good question. What shall I render? What shall I give to the Lord for all His benefits to me? The psalmist answers that question in the very next breath. He says, I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. So how do we say our thanks to God? We say our thanks to God by taking the cup of salvation and calling on the name of the Lord. We show thanksgiving to God by receiving His greatest of all gifts, which is salvation, which is the blood of Jesus shed upon the cross for us. How do you say thanks? By taking. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. So this is devotion to the living God. Notice what the psalmist says. Know that the Lord, He is God. How do we know that? How can we know that the Lord is God? And what the psalmist means is, know ye that the Lord is sovereign. He is God. He is the creator of heavens, of the heavens and the earth. He holds the whole world in His hand. He is the one who spoke and it came to pass. He is the one who controls everything. How do we know that? How do we know that He is God? That He is our God? How do we know that? Well, we can know it only through Jesus Christ. So we come to Genesis 1, which is the story of God's creation. We come to Genesis 1 by way of Matthew 1, Luke 1 and 2, Mark and John. We come to Genesis by way of the New Testament. Because God, who is our Father, is first of all the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And when He said that to the disciples, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you? Have not I been with you for all this time, and don't you know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And then in chapter 1 of John it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to be called children of God, who were born not of the flesh, not of a husband's will, not of nature, but who were born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we only know God through Jesus Christ. In fact, John says in 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten one who was in the bosom of the Father, he hath made him known. And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, our God who called light out of darkness has shone in our lives the light of his presence in the face of Jesus Christ. We know God is our God through Jesus Christ. So we come to Genesis 1, so to speak, by way of the New Testament, because our God is the first of all the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is Christ who brings us that revelation. We know him in the face of Jesus Christ. And then we know him, as Psalm 100 says, as our shepherd. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. There you have creation, and you have the wonderful truth of the covenant. We are his. We belong to him. Just like that little story I told to the children about the little boat that was made, lost, and then bought back. That's what we are. We were made. We are twice God's. We are his. He made us. And he also redeemed us. So we belong to him. As he says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. He's sovereign. He's in charge of everything. That's why we never have to worry. Because God is God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Now, how is this thanksgiving to be expressed? It's to be expressed in the church. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Gates are descriptive of the church. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The church is to be the model of gratitude. It's the model of thanksgiving. It's to lead the way in thanksgiving. It's to lead the nation in thanksgiving. It is the church that has the key. The church has the gospel. And it's that gospel that opens our eyes, our hearts, our pockets. It's the gospel that does it. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, give thanks to him, and bless his name. God is the giver of every gift, and he is due every bit of our praise. Now the climax is this. The climax is in the reason for it all. And there are three reasons. The Lord is good, number one. Number two, his steadfast love or his loving kindness endures forever. Number three, his faithfulness and his truth endures to all generations. Those are the three grounds of our thanksgiving. First of all, the Lord is good. Good. You know what goodness means? It means that every need is supplied. God is good. That is his character. It's so beautiful in the Belgic Confession, which we confess. It's so beautiful in the very first section, very first article. It talks about God. And you know who wrote that? It was a preacher in the Netherlands and Belgium, in southern Netherlands. And his name was Guido de Bray. And this was in 1561. So it's a long time ago. And the Low Countries of Europe were under the dominance of Spain. And there was intense persecution against the Protestants. Terrible persecution, you know that. And this preacher, Guido de Bray, he wants to inform the King of Spain, what kind of people he was persecuting. And Guido de Bray says, we are not revolutionaries. We are not out to overthrow the government. We are not guerrillas. We are not in conflict with the government. We are willing to obey the government on all the legitimate laws you have. But with regard to what I am writing here, which is now what we call the Belgic Confession, and it's 37 articles of basically what the Christian faith is all about. He says, with regard to this, what I'm writing to you, we are willing to give our tongues to knives, our bodies to the flames, and to give our lives rather than to deny the truth of this confession. So he put this whole thing in a cylinder, and he put a string around it and threw it over the wall so that the king would get it. And the king received it, and he read it, and he said, who is this guy? Well, they said, he's a preacher. He's a preacher named Guido de Bray. The king said, bring him to me. So Guido de Bray came to the king. The king said, did you write this? He said, yeah, I did. And on May 31, 1561, Guido was hung on the gallows and died. And the first article that he wrote was, the first article of the Belgic Confession is, and we believe in one God. And he gives all of the attributes of God, and then he concludes with this sentence. Our God is the overflowing fountain of all good. That is such a marvelous expression. That's such a beautiful summary of the Bible. God is the overflowing fountain of all good. God is good. His mercy is everlasting, is the second thing. His mercy deals with what he deals with, it deals with our sin. God does not count our sins against us. You remember how David says that in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, who forgives all our sins, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with goodness and mercy. For the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon him. That's the kind of God we serve. That's who he is. We can say that's God's DNA. That is what he is. And he has proved it to us. He did not spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? The Lord is good, and he is full of mercy. Now, as I mentioned in my prayer, what Moses said to the children of Israel before they were going to go into the land of Canaan, he says, watch out, beware that you do not forget the Lord who gave you all this. We're very, very tempted to do that. So he says to the children of Israel, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and that you have all you have is multiplied, beware that your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, and who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good. In the end, beware, lest you say, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me all this wealth. You shall remember that the Lord your God is God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So that warning is certainly very apropos for us, not only as Christians, but for our whole nation. Beware lest you think that you are the one that produced all this, that you are the one with your skill and knowledge and science and education, that you are the one that did all this, and then you forget the God who did it. That is a clear and a very apropos warning. Do you know that when Abraham Lincoln made his pronouncement of thanksgiving in 1863, Abraham Lincoln called the nation to thanksgiving. And Abraham Lincoln quotes from Moses. And he quotes and says, we have to beware lest we think that all the blessings that we have received are something that we made, something that we produced, something that we deserve, lest we forget. Remember the Lord who gave you all that. That's what Abraham Lincoln said in 1863 when he pronounced thanksgiving and called the nation to thanks. So the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and then the third reason is that his truth and his faithfulness is for all generations. God's truth is his word, and his word never fails. Jesus said, didn't he? And Isaiah said it before Jesus did. In fact, Jesus said it through Isaiah. And he said, the grass withers, and the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains and stands forever. In fact, Jesus said this, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. So the third reason for our thanksgiving is that we have the living word of God, that we have his truth and his faithfulness, which is for all generations. It never, never fails. It's always true. And that's why we must give heed unto the word. Love that word. Let the word dwell richly in your heart. It is the word that leads us to thanks. It's the word that shows us who we are. And it shows us why we're here. And it shows us how to serve the Lord. It shows us how to be saved. Romans 10, as we study in most yesterday morning, Paul says in Romans 10, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. It is the word of faith which we preach. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word is forever. And there is no one to whom that word does not address, says, come ye unto me, repent of your sin, turn ye unto the Lord. As we sang in that song, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Hear the voice that entreats you. You know what the word entreat means? It means come. It's an urgent call. Hear the voice that entreats you. Oh, return ye unto God. That is the only way to give thanks. It's to return unto God. And he is faithful. He will never turn us away. In fact, Jesus says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise turn away. What a wonderful thing that is. His truth is unto all generations. And so this call to give thanks is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful universal call. It's a call that entreats us to do it with thanksgiving and joy in worship and in our daily lives. All day long, every day, we are to be thankful. We are to live thankful lives before the Lord. Every day and all the time. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Are you a thankful person? You know, you say to someone who is familiar with the Dutch language, how you doing? And if they're not long from the Netherlands, they may say, niks te klagen. That means, I got nothing to complain about. Well, you know, that's really a negative way of saying, I am very thankful. Niks te klagen means that I don't have anything to complain about. Well, isn't that wonderful? I don't have much to complain about. We don't have anything to complain about. We have only what to be thankful for. Thankful for life, for breath, for happiness, for the gospel. Come, ye thankful people, come. Raise your voice at harvest time and every time. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And do you know what the best way and the chief part of thankfulness is? The chief part of thankfulness is prayer. The chief part of thankfulness is prayer. And God will give His Holy Spirit and thanks and salvation to everyone and anyone who asks for it in sincerity and repentance. No one will be turned away. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Are you thankful? Oh, may each one of us truly say, I am thankful. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless us this day. Make us more and more thankful. And Lord, may we not think that our hand and our ingenuity has produced what we enjoy. Father, give us thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.